In the name of the beloved Son, for the sake of the beloved community. Amen. I have to say that the cockles of my Lutheran heart are warmed this morning as I hear my uncle's favorite passage from Ephesians about salvation by grace through faith. And as I hear the song that was sung at my ordination to the Lutheran ministry. And as we hear this story. When I was in 10th grade, someone came to our school, an expert in reptiles, and they were displaying all kinds of amazing animals. I was right in the front seat, absolutely riveted. In fact, when it came time for a volunteer, So I came forward, and the man that was showing the animals, who was at that moment, he was showing a constrictor, said, "Now you hold the bag and I will feed the snake back into the bag." And after he had finished showing the snake, he did that and went on to talk about his next animal. All of a sudden, I hear a gasp from one of my classmates and they point. At that very moment, I feel something slide by my leg. I look down, and the constrictor had found a hole in the burlap bag and was coiling around my left leg. I was so horrified, I couldn't even scream. But the expert saw the situation, moved swiftly but quietly and calmly, and removed the snake and fed it into another container and went on with the presentation. Well, from that day to this one, me and snakes. And so what do I get? A story about snakes. It's bad enough that we have this story from the Hebrew scriptures about snakes. That's bad enough. But to make it worse, God is sending the snakes? Oh, I cannot go with this. I would rather avoid the whole thing altogether. But the Gospel of John insists on picking out that image as the first words out of our Savior's mouth. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Well, I think about that snake being lifted up in the wilderness, and it was God saying, "Moses, you do this, put it up, raise it up high, and tell people, God says, look here. Look at this snake." What would the people have seen? They would have seen the sign of their own wounding. They would have seen the sign of pain. They would have seen a symbol of death. That's what they were supposed to look at? Look at this symbol of death? And then we're told that Jesus says, "That's the way I'm going to be lifted up." Well, when we think of the lifting up of Jesus on the cross, that ain't pretty. There is nothing attractive or gorgeous about a man dying in a most cruel and horrifying way. There's nothing pretty about a man who has been stripped of his clothing, stripped of his dignity, stripped of justice. There is nothing pretty about a man whose whole life and work was now being reduced to a joke nailed over his head. Here's the King of the Jews. Anybody want to follow? There's nothing pretty about that. There's nothing gorgeous about the horrible way that one dies in crucifixion. You know, you don't bleed to death when you're crucified. You suffocate. Slowly the air is squeezed out of you. Until you find that the only way to breathe is to push yourself up on the very things that are passing through your feet so that you can grab a breath of air and maybe say something. There's nothing pretty about that. And yet God tells us, look here. We see the crucified Jesus not only on that cross, but we see the crucified Christ in humanity's inhumanity. We see it everywhere from the first murder that is recorded in the scriptures all the way to the death of next Benedict. We see it in faraway places such as Gaza and the Ukraine. And we see it close to home. We see it not only in others, we see it in ourselves, in the parts of our own lives that are torn and ripped and in pain. The Son of Man is lifted up, and we're called to look. Look and see this painful truth that here is humanity. If this is making you uncomfortable and making you sad and making you wish that you didn't have to look, you've got company. Good company. Even the prophets didn't like to look. Even those whom God called to speak didn't want to look. Our friend Jeremiah, the prophet of doom, he was called by his friends. In fact, he was even given a nickname by his community. They called him Trouble on Every Side. That was his nickname. You know, he'd be coming along and this is, oh boy, here comes old Trouble on Every Side. He's going to do nothing but tell us bad news. He's got company with the prophet Habakkuk, who said to God, why do you make me look upon injustice and pain? It's a good question. But one of the reasons that we must look is because this is the truth. This is the truth of who we are. This is the truth of humanity's inhumanity. We can't hide from it. We can't run from it. Jesus didn't hide from it or run from it. He leaned into it. So we see this in Jesus. We see it in our communities. And it is something for us to point out and say, ah, here it is. Imagine going to a doctor and the doctor says to you, okay, why are you here today? And you know that you've been having this horrible pain in your shoulder, but you tell the doctor, I'm fine. What's the doctor left to do? The doctor doesn't know that, oh, the shoulder is the problem. If you don't tell the truth about that, there can't be healing. There won't be the opportunity for the healing arts to be practiced. As a side note, I've always thought it interesting that the seal for the medical professions include a snake. Harkening back to this amazing story that sometimes healing and hurt come that close to each other. Yes, indeed. Ugly things must be seen and they must be spoken. And the church's job is to do that, is to call it out when it's there. But we call it out so that we can be ready to move into mourning, lament, and healing. Lament. Okay. We're not really good at that as Americans. We're better at throwing a party. You know, we love celebrations. And me, I love a good celebration. If you're going to throw a party, invite me. I love a good party. And as a culture, we love a good party. Lament is a little harder for us. It's harder to say as a community, ooh, there's pain here. There's hurt here. But we can do it. We can do it. In fact, there's an opportunity for you to do it on the 6th of March. There's actually going to be a liturgy of lament around the death of Next Benedict. And in case you don't know about that particular case, that's the case of a young non-binary person who was beaten in their high school bathroom and died as a result of that beating. We're actually going to do a lament at St. Peter's Church on the 6th. Not on the 6th, on the 12th. I'm sorry, on the 12th. And we will have the chance to lament, to actually tell the truth. But this is not where the story ends, nor is this where the story of Jesus ends. We don't stop with crucifixion. The crucifixion is the first 3 feet of the lifting up of Jesus. But the lifting up continues into resurrection life and into the glorification of Jesus that calls him to be present among us. It doesn't stop with the telling of the truth. It continues with the naming of a vision of what healing and hope might look like. The raised snake and the risen Jesus are signs that God is still at work. God hasn't left the building. God has not checked out. God has not said, oops, you guys are so bad that I'm leaving. In fact, God is present in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our pain, and holds out hope and healing. Consider this strange and problematic story from the Hebrew scriptures. People were healed when they looked at the snake, but that's not the only place where healing was needed. Remember what started that whole story? There's problems between Moses and the community. There was a need for healing there. In the relationship between Moses and the community. As people were dying, there was a need for healing there, as people mourned loss and pain. On a personal note, I must say that I stand here today aware of a loss, aware of the loss of Doreen Tudor. The flowers today are given in her honor and memory. I feel her loss today, but I also know that I am in a community where I can mourn and be healed and find hope. The risen Jesus not only gives this hope to us, but calls us to be agents of that hope. And this is what gets me excited, being agents of that hope and agents of resurrection. I get the chance to go around this diocese and see God's people at work. I have to tell you, that just brings me such deep delight. It brings me delight because sometimes I get tired. I know you may find this hard to believe. What? Carla Robinson gets tired? Carla Robinson has a down day? What? Carla Robinson gets sad and discouraged? Yes, yes. Because I have seen what many of you have seen. I also have seen our inhumanity. I also have seen good things, the civil rights movement, horrible things, the assassination of Dr. King. I too have seen good things. The election of Barack Obama. And sad things. The murder of George Floyd and many others. I have seen our society step forward in recognizing same-gender marriages. But I have also watched as many parts of our nation have almost criminalized being someone like me. I have watched as we talk about love and experience so much hate. Sometimes I do want to give up, and maybe you do too. Maybe you look and say, oh, it's just the same stuff, different day. You know, we're not going anywhere. Maybe you also get that feeling of, I'm done. Well, I'm going to tell you one of the secrets that works for me. It's the little gems of hope that I see all over the place. Starting here. When I see this cathedral community say, we want to lean in to affordable housing, what that might look like and feel like and how we might be engaged in that work, not only with each other, but beyond our walls. When I travel around our diocese and I begin to see new life in old places, I'm encouraged. When I travel and I begin to see people excited about a new leader, a new bishop coming into our church. When I look at that slate and see three women, and when I look at that slate and I see a woman of Native descent, when I look at that profile and I see right up front in our questions are, where are you on the question of racial justice? I get hope. That gets me a little happy, and it makes me want to get up and keep moving. Sometimes I even find it in our liturgy. I want to tell you about one of my favorite little secrets that almost always gives me just a little jolt on a Sunday morning. It's in the Nicene Creed. Isn't that weird? You know, the Nicene Creed is probably one of the most controversial parts of our liturgy. Many folks struggle with the things that the Creed says, but there's something in the Creed there that just incredibly gives me hope, and it's right toward the end where we say, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We're not talking about some faraway thing out there. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead as it happens in our communities, in our own lives. You know, when I hear that, I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go out of here looking for the resurrection of the dead, and I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it in you. I see it in you from the small acts of kindness to the big acts of organizing. I see it. And as long as God gives me a voice and this church gives me a venue, I will continue to call that out. The resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You know, it sometimes takes a long view. And, you know, I wasn't going to go here. And so I'm going to apologize right away to Steve, because this was not on the prepared remarks. So I wasn't going to go here, But, you know, the time, stuff happens to us. Stuff happens to us, and we say, will I ever see that new Jerusalem, the golden? Will I see it? And, you know, I'm kind of old now, not as young as I used to be. And I am sure of a couple of things. One, I'm sure that God will continue to work in our time. And I also know that I will not see its consummation. I know that when I close my eyes, there will still be work to do. But do I give up? No. And I don't urge you to fall that way. And I can't help it. I'm thinking today of words from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know them. They were the words that he spoke in his last time addressing folk. He had a sense that his own time of ministry was coming to an end, that his own life was coming to an end. And he said, Well, I don't know what's going to happen now. But I want you to know that I have been to the mountaintop. God has allowed me to go to the mountaintop, and I've looked over and I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. He went on to say, I am happy tonight, and I'm not fearing anyone. He closed with the words that his eyes had seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Beloved, I've seen the resurrection of the dead. It's right here.